I'm Phoenix. I use they, them pronouns.
And I'm Eve. I use any pronouns.
And this month on Book Club, we are discussing Sword and Thistle by S.L. Rowland.
Woo!
Yeah, we talked about Cursed Cocktails last year, also by S.L. Rowland, which is in the same world as this, but they're not, like, directly connected.
Technically.
There's
an intersect.
Obviously, off the top, spoilers for this book, and also technically spoilers for Cursed Cocktails, I suppose.
Yeah, because they happen at the same time.
There's crossover, yeah.
Yeah, so the things get mentioned in each book, so we'll probably spoil this book and the previous book. So if you haven't read this book or Cursed Cocktails, go away and read them, and then come back, because we have loads of great thoughts.
I don't know about great thoughts.
There's thoughts. Because I don't think we liked this book as much as Cursed Cocktails. Cursed Cocktails is very cozy. It is very good.
We really liked Cursed Cocktails, for the most part.
But it was a fun time.
It was.
There is a magical cat.
Yes.
So.
We enjoyed it.
You can't go wrong.
But yeah. This one, I think it's fair to say we enjoyed less.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
Yeah. I was so excited as well.
It is cozy fantasy?
It counts.
I think my brain is like, well, I didn't enjoy it very much, so I don't want to call it cozy fantasy, but it is definitely cozy fantasy.
Yeah. It's in the threshold.
Yes. So, it's about this guy, Dobbin Thornhill, which, right off the bat, okay, if you're, you know, somebody who's into, like, fantasy, and you hear the name Dobbin Thornhill, we all know you're picturing a dwarf.
Yeah.
Dobbin Thornhill is the name of a dwarf.
Yeah. Okay?
Unfortunately, in this book, he's just a human man.
It's just literally a tall ginger man.
It's very disappointing.
Yeah.
Because Dobbin Thornhill is such a dwarf name.
And he goes to so many dwarf places, and then it wasn't until, like, after he left the dwarf places that I realised he was a human.
It's very weird because, like, so much of the plot centres around, like, dwarf-related stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of feel like, why not just make him a dwarf?
Exactly.
Anyway, he's a like, renowned adventurer.
Mm.
He does quite well for himself, and he has this one client who every year pays him extortionate amounts of money to go and find some, like, rare and unique thing that this guy and his club want to eat. And this is basically what keeps Dobbin in business, as far as I can tell.
The dinner cult.
Yeah, the dinner cult.
I love that name.
And this dinner cult have asked him to go and find some dragonfire mushrooms, which are mushrooms that can only grow where a dragon has set fire to land, which is, you know, rare.
Yeah. So they need to head off to, I think it's Hell's Crag? Hell's Crag, I've been calling it Crag. I don't know.
Yeah, Hell's Crag, which was a dwarven city that, like, centuries ago was destroyed by a fire-breathing dragon. And so he's like, well, that's where I'll be able to find dragonfire mushrooms. Obviously.
Yeah.
So
it's just him going on his merry old way to try and find it, and then he makes friends along the way, kind
of. Yeah, because he has this thing about how he's, like, he's a solo adventurer now because he used to have a party, but things went wrong. One of his really close friends died.
And so he can never work again with other people.
Doesn't work with people now.
Oh no.
Oh no.
I'm deep and emotional.
He's Batman.
Absolutely, he's Batman.
But then over the course of this, he sort of does make friends.
Yeah, and he works with people, kind of. And kind of gets over his trauma. Well, not gets over, but accepts his trauma.
Yes.
Of losing his friends.
Uh-huh, which I think is where the coziness sort of meant to come from.
Yeah, it's meant to.
Meant to being the operative word there.
Yeah. But, Once again, we will be using the Coppell system made by Book Roast.
Yep.
Yes, correct. Which is... Oh, I'm going to get this wrong. Character, uh-huh. Atmosphere, world building.
No.
No, writing style. We're keeping it. plot, intrigue, logic, and enjoyment. And yes. Then we add it all up, get a score, and divide it by 7 to give our overall score for the book.
Just as well, just for context, I'm going to see if I can find my Cursed Cocktails score. Here it is.
That is fair. Okay.
So
oh my god.
Cursed Cocktails a 9.4 out of 10.
I give it a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay.
So they were genuinely really high. Okay, for us.
Yeah. For Eve, 6.4 is high.
It's up there.
I give this a 5.1 out of 10.
I give this a 4. So
yeah, so we've both
something's not there. It's missing a lot of like stuff.
It is. Mm. But before we get into that, let's talk
hell
drinks
yeah.
Because
yes.
This is what we do now on season 2 of Hearth and Pain.
Oh my gosh, so fancy of us!
I know. We have drinks.
Yeah.
So Eve, what is your hot drink?
I feel like at some point I need to do a coffee because once again I've got a tea. Because I just think that matching a tea to a book is a little bit easier.
I was going
to
say, I feel like you've got more like flavour options with tea.
Yeah, there's more variety. So I have got, I found a company that does teas based off of like a fantasy creature. So I've got the Magic Dragon by the Golden Monkey Tea Company. It is a green and white tea, which is green tea. Dragon fruit.
Oh,
dragon fruit. That would be nasty. Oh. It's dragon fruit sugar and it's powdered sugar. It's a pie moutan. I can't remember how to pronounce that. Lemongrass flavoring and freeze dried kiwis and raspberry pieces, all like bunched together with some vanilla and all that, and blended and. It's meant to be a warm tea. You don't put milk in it. It is delicious. It's a little bit red in kind of colouring. It's very pretty.
Nice.
I tried to find a mushroom tea, but they were all kind of gross.
Yeah.
So I didn't go for that.
That's interesting that yours is red and has raspberries, because so is mine.
Oh, fantastic.
I know. I've actually gone for technically not even a cocktail or a mocktail. This is just a drink.
Shocking.
It's a cold drink. It falls under my purview.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone for a health potion smoothie.
Ooh!
I found a recipe on... Let me bring up the name of the place that I found it from. Because I believe in crediting people.
Hell yes.
Just playing for time. On a Tumblr blog called Gourmet Gaming.
Ooh!
They were making it based off of the red potions from Legend of Zelda.
Oh, fabulous.
And I made a few tweaks because I didn't actually have all the ingredients. And some of them aren't really my thing. But basically what I put is I've got 150 grams of frozen raspberries, 300 mils of apple and raspberry flavoured water, and then a tablespoon each of lemon juice and honey. And then you just blend it all together and it's real good.
That sounds delicious.
It's very refreshing. And it is lovely red. And if I had like a fancy sort of vial type thing, then I would have put it in that, but I don't.
Oh, heck yeah.
So,
That's adorable.
Yeah.
Love it. Hell yeah.
And because, you know, health potions, like, it repeatedly in this book talks about Dobbin drinking a health potion.
Mm-hmm. So he's just going to town on raspberries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I like to think. He's just got a wee blender with him.
Exactly. It's a Nutribullet.
But we'll not think about that too hard.
Yeah. I don't know, it's fantasy. They might have like...
This is true.
I was about to say like a wall plug, but they don't.
More like lightning magic or something.
Yeah. This man learned one spell and it's to use his Nutribullet. Like... Love it.
Incredible. Okay. Let's dive into this
So.
Book.
Go away if you haven't read it and stop around for delicious drinks.
This is your
drinks.
Stopping point.
Yeah.
You've heard the drinks. Stop now. Go read it.
Go
come
away.
Back. Go away. Stop listening.
Go away. I have nothing to do. Okay. For the people who remain, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, welcome back, by the way, to the people who paused and then went and read the book.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Okay. Let's just dive in with characters.
Yeah, I gave characters a 4.
Same!
Ah! Snap right
we
off
keep
the
doing
bat.
This.
We've been quite good recently, haven't
yeah.
we? We've been quite
for the
close.
Last couple, yeah.
We're going to hit another one, though, where we have yeah. wildly different scores at some point.
Yeah. Oh, I'm scared.
We'll see. Yeah, I liked... So, Dobbin, okay, is...
Should have been a dwarf.
He should have been a dwarf, but also his personality, such as it is really boring.
Yeah. I don't think he has one.
Well, this is my point. He's just sort of like, his personality is that he's a man.
Yeah.
And that he's a guy. He's just the most generic man.
Literally default man. He really, walking around
like
a fantasy
when you
world.
Play, like a fantasy RPG video game, and it like defaults to like human fighter. That's what
exactly.
he is. He is a white man. He's a human, he's a fighter, he doesn't do anything exciting or special, he's just
literally
he's just a man.
And then at numerous occasions he just speaks stories to people and people are just not interested. With nothing to do with what he's saying.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the other thing, is that he's just, he doesn't really
boring.
Have very much. Like, he should have exciting stories.
Right, and then he just keeps talking about generic everyday stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember his stories, to be fair.
It's just like, I don't know, he just doesn't have very much about him that makes him really feel like he's like some...
Yeah.
But I know that he's supposed to be sort of a bit reserved and stuff, but he just comes across very flat.
Mm-hmm. Like, there was nothing really exciting about him. I was like, once again, he feels like a dwarf until he leaves a dwarven city, like, midway through the book, and then you realise he's like, oh yeah, I'm like... miles taller than everyone here. And I'm like, wait, what?
For me, it was like
what
early
mean?
On in the book, he's in a tavern and it talks about like he's sitting across from a dwarf and he keeps calling him like the dwarf. And I'm like,
but
is he not a dwarf?
Are you not?
Because I feel like obviously, if you were a dwarf, then you would refer to them as like the other dwarf or something, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. And then nothing.
Yeah. And I didn't really care. About his whole, like, trauma.
Mm-hmm. I think it was handled not that well, if I'm completely honest. Because he loses his friend Henrik. He dies... I can't remember even how he dies, but he dies. Into leaving behind a wife and a son. And then to... He goes to Hell... Dobbin goes to Hell's Crag and then gets a... Like, he eats part of the mushroom and then sees his dead friend and tells him to get over it. And I'm like, what is this? No. Because at first I thought he was a ghost.
Yeah.
It just... something else needed to happen. Like, maybe the wife, I can't remember her name, like, stopped him in the street when she first sees him at the start of the book. And he's like, please, like, and has an actual human conversation about it. And not just him on, like, as like a trip, basically, to talk about it. I don't know. I really didn't like it. How the ghost coming back. Not ghost. Well, just apparition.
Yeah, so,
the
like,
end.
The whole thing with the dragonfire mushrooms is that they give you, like, visions.
Mm-hmm.
And after he finds the dragonfire mushrooms at the end, Myrtle, who is the druid, who we'll talk about in a bit, is like...
Mm-hmm.
You've worked so hard for them. Like, you've got more than enough to give to the guy. You should take one and, like, maybe it'll help you, you know, heal your vision, heal your trauma and all that. And then he does. And he has this, like, vision memory thing of what happened to his friend, which I think is literally just that, like, him and his party... went in, like, unprepared on a mission and died. Most of them died, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, no, one of them runs away. Henrik dies. It's a whole thing.
We meet another party member as well, because there was that rogue who jump-scared him.
Yes.
That she was in the party. Or they were, I can't even remember who they were, what their name was.
No, me neither. But anyway, no. he
memorable.
Basically, this guy, his friend died, and that's mm-hmm. his trauma, is he feels like it's his fault for somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Which could have been done interestingly, but just yeah. really what wasn't. Because yeah. most of the book, you don't know what exactly happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that kind of does a bit of a disservice, because it means that you spend so much of the book being like, I get that we're meant to feel that he has trauma related to this Henrik guy, mm-hmm. but we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So you're like, well, what does it mean, though? It doesn't yeah. mean anything to you as a reader, because you're like, okay, but anything could have happened to Henrik.
Literally.
And I feel like keeping the reveal that he just died on like an unprepared attack kind to the end is just boring. A bit flat.
Yeah. Like, and then like creepily kind of like watching the wife and child through the window of their cafe that they run.
Yeah, because that's just like standing there. Every time he gets paid, he sends like,
the money,
a chunk which, of his money.
Very to... sweet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, after he gets back to the city, he does go and actually talk to her.
Finally. Which it would have been good to see like a fallout at the start of the book, and maybe like a prologue or something of them, like him dying, and then him not being able to deal with that and going away or something like that. And yeah. then a time jump, I don't even know, but it just didn't feel right for the whole yeah. his whole like backstory to have this happen and then not know about it for so long.
Mm-hmm. It feels like it just doesn't quite work, because you're building up this like what happened to Henrik thing, and then what happened mm-hmm. to Henrik is really boring and mm-hmm. like obviously it's sad, but it's yeah. not like you're just sort of like oh so he just dies, like he just dies mm-hmm. because they were unprepared
mm-hmm.
and that's just a bit like oh okay.
It could have really tied into the whole thing at the end, but the like the is it like a mage trying to do something in Hell's Crag? I mean
yeah, so that's like that's sort of what happened, because the whole thing is that he's like, nobody knows why the dragon attacked Hell's Crag, mm-hmm. because dragons, while like protective of their stuff, don't attack unprovoked.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're in Hell's Crag trying to work out what happened, they discover that like it's this mage mm-hmm. who was trying to do some magic that needed something to do with a dragon.
Yeah. There was a whole like insert book chapter about him, about he was meant to be dead or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, I can't remember his name.
Oh, I don't know.
He was just kind of forgettable because yeah. like everything was just so quick and done.
Basically it's just that like this mage hundreds of years ago was trying to do some spell to do with a dragon that involved a dragon in Hell's Crag, and it went wrong and the dragon killed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And now the mage is like stuck as like a wraith or something, and he's mm-hmm. like reliving that moment over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hell's Crag is all like haunted and stuff. And then the whole mm-hmm. thing exactly is that Dobbin and Myrtle, along with the help of some goblins,
oh god, yeah,
defeat the wraith, and then everything is better now.
Yay!
Woohoo! and yeah, it's just yeah
mm-hmm.
yeah, I struggle. Boring. And I think as well when you're doing cozy fantasy,
yeah,
obviously like cozy fantasy there need to be stakes, but the whole point is that the stakes are low.
Yeah,
but when you're doing low stakes, what you need to then do to balance things out is a lot of cozy fantasy, successful cozy fantasy, is very character focused.
Mm-hmm.
And when this is your main character, it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because when your main character is so boring and plain,
and personalityless,
it just doesn't like do what it needs to do of making up for the lower stakes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Cozy fantasy, you need a strong main character to pull you through mm-hmm. it, and we just don't have that here. And I think that's probably, I would say, the biggest issue with this book.
Yeah.
Is that there's like, just not enough of like a main character anchor to mm-hmm. hold everything together.
Which is like go back, we read Can't Spell Treason Without Tea. Mm-hmm. That has like a similar kind of like there's a mystery and there's dragons. Mm-hmm. That actually had like stronger main characters and stronger like threat, but it still worked as a cozy fantasy. This was just missing both the kind of like where it was seemingly he was like too nervous to make the threat bigger.
Yeah.
And yes. Maybe the character more character. The character wasn't charactering, if that makes sense.
Because yeah, like the threat basically is that Hellscrag is haunted, and he needs to go into Hellscrag to get the mushrooms, but it's full of ghosts of all the dwarves who died in the dragon attack.
Oh.
But they deal with this threat so easily that it doesn't feel like a threat at all.
Exactly.
At no point is there any real danger, basically. Mm-hmm. Which is fine.
He's going to be fine.
Because you can make up for that by developing your characters in a way that even though there's no real danger, your reader still cares about what's happening.
Exactly.
I just don't think that happened here.
Yeah. Like, not at all.
Yeah.
I will say, for one, I really enjoyed Snort the Pig.
Snort the Pig is fantastic.
Adorable. He's a little guy.
Snort is a dire pig piglet. Mm-hmm. Early on in his travels, Dobbin finds a treant thing, like a live tree.
Yeah.
And it steps on a dire pig. And
yeah.
The dire pig had just had a baby, and he's like, "Oh well, I can't leave this baby here." So he basically adopts it, and that's Snort. And Snort is fantastic.
Snort is fantastic.
I love her.
I loved their entire arc, as in from small pig to continuously a small pig to an epilogue where we find out he rides around on Snort. And I love that. I love that so much. It reminded me, like, you know, in the Hobbit movie. I know I hate bringing it up, but they ride a pig in the Hobbit movie, and I was just like, oh, this is just beautiful.
Yes.
This is glorious.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And there's that brilliant moment in Battle of the Five Armies where Billy Connolly is riding a goat.
Is it a goat? I thought it was a
goat. I think there's both, but I'm fairly sure there's also goats.
Anyway, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was Billy Connolly. I just realised.
I'm fairly sure it's Billy Connolly.
Yeah.
He's in there somewhere, right?
That's freaky, yeah. Probably. But it's Snort, adorable. Character arc, fantastic. Little guy does nothing important to the plot, and I love him for it. He had a horse that went around that you kind of just left places, and it just did its own thing, which was also great.
Uh-huh.
I did hate, what was her name? Lyra Houndstooth?
Oh, yes.
Which is so the illusionist?
She's this like powerful illusionist mage who...
Mm-hmm.
Dobbin doesn't really like, because he doesn't really like mages very much.
Oh god, yeah.
Because when Henrik died, they had a mage in their party who was a bit of a coward, and, you know, he was really scared and wasn't doing his job, and he thinks, basically Dobbin's partially is like, that's why Henrik died, is because our mage wasn't doing his job, and so now I hate all mages. And he'd met Lyra before sometime in the past, I guess, where she was working as like a court mage, and he was like, "Ha, you just perform for people, you don't really do anything." And then they ripped into her. They apparently fall in love. Really?
And I thought it was going to be a one night stand, because they had a fade to black sex scene and it was traumatic.
Yep, but then apparently they have like feelings now, and he really likes her, and it's all good.
And at the end, they get married or something?
From what married?
I remember, because they're at least in a relationship.
I think they're together. I don't remember much mention of.
I don't know. All I know is I remember they were together, and I was just like, how does she come back into this? We mentioned her in two chapters, and that was it. There was just some things wrong with like how the pacing of the thing went that made me not care about any of the characters. I made them all kind of really standoffish to one another, and their relationships didn't make sense.
Yes.
Because, like, yes. Lyra literally doesn't go with him, is in two chapters, one of which is them meeting, having a one-night stand, and then the next morning, and then he just leaves, and then suddenly they're together at the end. What? Where was... Have her go with him, or follow secretly, or develop. Something happen.
Yeah.
honestly, or have like some horrific thing happen in the village and then she's had to help and he's like, oh my gosh, mages aren't that bad.
Yes, instead of just sort of none of that.
Getting over it. Exactly. Yeah.
He's just sort of like, oh, okay.
Oh, it's, sound. Let's date now.
We'll have sex and now I'm in love with you, apparently. It's
exactly.
Just, yeah.
It's not how it works.
No.
Please, any development would be great.
I did.
Which is like, yeah.
Yeah, I did struggle with that. I think it's, again, like, an ideal opportunity for character, right? Like, an ideal opportunity to have, like, a proper character focus of him, like, getting along with her, you know, and learning that maybe not all mages are as useless as the one that he had.
Yeah.
And or all like, this.
She could have even helped with, because there was this whole thing with, like, the sword that he had having runes on it or something. Mm-hmm. And then he didn't know what it did. She could have helped with that. I don't know. She's a mage.
Did he not ask her at one point? And she's like, oh, I don't know. I can't remember.
Maybe. But, like, it would have been at least anything good for, like
just
pacing for their relationship.
Having her come along would have helped.
Would have helped a lot. And it would have, like, made the whole Helms Crag thing a lot more interesting as well.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Having illusions.
Yeah.
But apparently not.
But no.
But I did like Myrtle.
I also liked Myrtle. So
I
Myrtle
was cute.
Is a druid. She has been living on... She's a dwarf. And
yay!
her
finally.
Ancestors escaped from Helms Crag. And her family never talk about it. And she has taken it upon herself to try and restore the land around Helms Crag bit by bit. And it takes a lot of effort and a lot of time because... the Dragonfire has, like, magically corrupted the land. And so she has to, like, gradually, tiny bit by tiny bit, reclaim the land and let it grow again. And she lives there and has been, like, working her way in, like, from one edge, really, really slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And Dobbin meets her, and they, you know, have become friendly. And she helps clear out the Wraith because she wants to, you know, restore the land around Helms Crag to nature.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really fun character. And I really liked her. I liked that she basically spends most of her time being like, no, Dobbin, you fucking idiot. This is how it works. Like, she's constantly like, because he's an adventurer and he hates goblins. Goblins are always bad and
how
he's defeated
they
lots
exist?
Of goblins. And she's like, you need to get over your weird prejudice about goblins, because there's goblins who live underneath Helms Crag who end up helping them.
Yeah.
And she has a kobold friend called Gru, I guess.
I think so.
So he's called Grunt because he's non-verbal, so he grunts. So she's like, oh, I call him Grunt. But then it always gets shortened to Gru.
Yeah.
Which I hate.
Yeah.
Give him an actual name.
Yeah, because it just felt a bit weird. Right.
Firstly, it feels weird to just call a non-verbal person Grunt.
Right.
That's strange, right off the bat. Uncomfortable.
Don't do that.
But also, like, why did we have to shorten it to Gru? Because that just made me think of Despicable Fucking Me.
Right? All I could see was literal Gru rocking around this, like...
I hate that.
...in place, and it was... Oh.
I liked the kobold as a character.
Yeah.
I thought it was really sweet. Him and Snort are, like, friends. They, like, hang out together and having the time of their lives. But I didn't love I didn't love the fact that he's called Grunt. He's like sentient, right? Like he's intelligent.
Yes,
he's a kobold.
Yeah.
He just is non-verbal.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't love the fact that he's called Grunt. And I also don't love that he feels very like infantilized.
Yes, absolutely.
It does not feel great as a neurodivergent person to read about somebody who's clearly supposed to be, like, autistic coded, being called Grunt and being infantilized like that.
It was extremely uncomfortable every time he was on the page. I was just like, oh, no. Great.
Because the whole thing is that he got kicked out by the other kobolds.
Uh-huh.
Because he's, like, weird. Because he's autistic.
Yeah.
I think is the implication.
Mm-hmm.
And that Myrtle, like, takes him in and helps him. And that's great. I like that she helps mm-hmm. him. But also, I'm like, did you have to call him Grun?
Yeah. This is where I think the book really could have used... I can't remember what they're called, but a beta reader who looks
for sensitivity reader.
That's it.
Yes.
Because it would have been picked up immediately.
I
don't know if this did have a sensitivity reader. If it did, how did they not pick this up? Because it's very, it's not great. That it needs changed. But like, give him a name, please. But yeah.
There was a team of beta readers, but it doesn't specifically in the acknowledgements mention any sensitivity readers.
Yeah. Okay. No, it probably should have used one.
But yeah. That would probably no, been great. It felt not great.
Yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
But I liked the character, just not mm-hmm. how he's treated.
Yes.
Yes. I think that's all the characters. Oh, and there's yes. Moss Ears.
Oh.
I forgot about Moss Ears. Moss Ears is the like elder / leader of this tribe of goblins
yes.
who live under Hell's Crag, and she has magic, and she helps them deal with the wraith, because there's this whole thing about how thistles, hence the name of the book, Sword and Thistle,
mm-hmm.
thistles can be like, they can like dissipate ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And so the goblins have, like, they have spears that they put little thistles on the end of so that they can get rid of ghosts.
Adorable.
It's very sweet. And so she helps with that, and she's part of the whole, like, other part of Dobbin's personality arc, if you can call it that, his character arc, if you can call it that, of,
mm-hmm.
like, learning not to be prejudiced.
Yeah.
Because goblins are smart, actually, so therefore they deserve to live.
Yeah. What... I just didn't like Dobbin at all. There is
yeah.
something deeply wrong with him being absolutely prejudiced against literally every person that he
yeah.
comes across.
Yeah. And like, I can see what Ethel Rowland is trying to do with the arc of like this adventurer learning that goblins aren't, you know, just mindless
mm-hmm.
mindless monsters or whatever. And I like that idea. I think that's a
yeah.
fun thing to
yeah.
develop. But it doesn't really feel earned
well
at all. It just
yeah.
kind of feels like Dobbin's just like, no, goblins are fucking
goblins
monsters.
Are
I hate them. Ugh, they're bad. And then he's like, oh, but these goblins have helped me. Maybe I was wrong all along. And I'm like...
yeah, no shit, buddy.
It just...
like,
yeah. It just doesn't feel good. It feels like somebody learning about racism for the first time.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm just like, don't think I loved that.
Yeah, it was just like there's just so much prejudice packed into the one character that it was just a bit too much. Like, to like every single person he comes across, it's like, oh, I hate you. Actually, you've helped me. I like you now.
Yeah,
there was a bit
his
too
character,
much.
His
of that.
One character trait is literally being prejudiced and then
yeah.
learning that he's wrong.
Like,
that is the most consistent thing about him as a person.
Yeah, I can name barely any other personality traits. Like...
yeah.
Just...
Yeah. No, it's...
The characters
it's
needed
weird.
Considerable work. Because we know that Essel Rowland can do good characters because of Cursed Cocktails.
Yes!
Roran,
this is the thing!
Yeah. I really liked Roran from
uh-huh.
Cursed Cocktails.
Cursed Cocktails,
delightful.
Yeah.
Delightful. And I can't remember what their partner is called.
Neither
because I
Callum? Maybe. Is it Callum? Is it not
it
spelled
might be
really weirdly?
It might be, yeah.
I feel like it's like K-H-A-L-L-U-M or something.
Yeah.
I feel like it was something weird.
It was like
that.
Fantasy average.
It was
boy
Fantasy name. Callum, I think, is
fantasy
the idea.
Fantasy Callum. Yeah. Like, this is just basically Rory, but with a bit of, like, spice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they can do good characters, and they know how to do good character arcs, and yet, for this book, they haven't done that. It makes no sense. It was like all of the like development was put into that book instead of this book.
Yes.
It didn't make sense. Because this book was published after Cursed Cocktails, right?
Uh-huh.
Then what the hell happened? What happened? It just... I'll mention this more in like when we get to like plot and stuff, but this felt very like short stories that weren't meant to be a book, but rather a collection of short stories.
I can see about that,
about adventurers, but because like it just felt like nothing happened, and that things were should have happened as in like a short story sense, but then nothing did.
Yeah,
it just things got taken out to make it a book. I don't know, but
okay, yes, I agree. I think that is, yeah. It just I just don't understand, and like because. I'm assuming he's planning to do more in this world, I think. I hope that we get more stuff like Cursed Cocktails and less like this.
Yeah.
That's all.
Also, use less tropes, please.
Yes.
Please. Well, yes. We don't want another round of applause.
Cursed Cocktails too, to be fair.
To a standing applaud.
Literally an everybody clapped moment. Which
literally awful.
But anyway,
it was like such a what just happened kind of moment.
Yeah,
like what pad? Yeah,
let's move on to atmosphere. I gave atmosphere an 8.
I gave it a 4 again.
Okay.
I think this is where we diverge.
I thought that the world building was pretty good.
I think that the world building was good, but you couldn't really see as much world building in this than you did Cursed Cocktails.
There is that.
So that's
which is ironic because like
kind of comparing. Yeah,
he's an adventurer. You would expect him to have, you know, been all over the place, sort of thing.
Yeah, and like can say everything about the world. I've been here before. And like, because like there is, he takes quests. He explores ruins. He camps under the stars. And I just felt there was just not enough description about any of this. Like, yeah. I kind of knew where they were, but it just felt they were walking and in a forest path for a lot of it. And I was just like, didn't really get a sense of the general atmosphere, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Until we got to Hell's Crag, where it was like, ooh, ghosties.
I do think as well, there was a little bit too much, like, skipping. Because, like, there's stuff that, like, starts to happen, and then we just sort of skip over it, and it's already happened.
Yeah.
And, like, I would have loved if we'd had more of him, more of his travel be seen and, like, have interesting things. We get, like, oh, he's in the forest and he's found a dire pig baby. And then it's, like, skips ahead. And it's, like, oh, he's in this town now. And there's this dwarf kid who's singing this song about Hell's Crag. And then it skips ahead again and he's near the Hell's Crag. And I'm just, like, show me more of that.
Yeah.
I think...
where is like the consequences and like the challenges of going from place to place, because you're going a long distance through a fantasy world.
He talks about how it's like a long journey, right? He's got like a multi-month time limit and he's like, that's gonna be tight. So it is just a bit
weird. This is why I kept thinking, like, this should have been, like, 100 pages, because it felt like a short story. Because, like, there was so much cuts between places where it was just, like, kind of uninteresting, where this, like, a whole section of, like, 200 pages could have been taken out, because nothing happens in it, apart from, like, a one-night stand.
Yeah.
And a competition and of him speaking.
a lot of that is the perfect opportunity to have done proper character development.
Yeah, exactly.
Having him travel is an ideal opportunity to like develop him as a person, instead of just being like, he found a pig and then we move on, and then he finds this inn and he tells a story and then we move on.
Exactly.
He does. That was your chance to be like, here's who he is as a person.
Yeah.
Here's why he's not just a really generic boring man.
And yet we didn't get that.
No, we didn't.
And it just kind of sucked. Because we want to know more about him. We want to know why he thinks bad things about literally everyone he meets, or literally any other personality trait, you know. But read Cursed Cocktails.
it's better. I think part of what makes Cursed Cocktails better is definitely that there's like more happening.
Yeah,
like there's less downtime in Cursed Cocktails, but I feel like the downtime in this could have been well used, but wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the thing, is like downtime is potential for things to happen, and instead we literally just get like downtime where nothing is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the problem. Like you say, your solutions are either cut out a bunch of it and just make it like a novella, or properly build on that downtime and take the opportunity to, you know, develop your character a bit more.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Which I guess we've sort of slid into writing style here anyway.
I did give it a 7 for writing style.
Oh, I gave it a 6.
Oh! We're like right there.
We're close again.
We're close.
Because it's all like I've written for writing style is it's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's a bit tropey.
It is.
It's a bit tropey, but you know what? It's okay. Lots of people use tropes, and yet sometimes they're a little bit too noticeable.
Yeah.
Everyone clapped. But
thankfully, there wasn't quite an everyone clapped in this.
Yeah, that was great. And like, generally, it was pretty good. Like, Cursed Cocktails, I already knew about the writing style and liked it. So, like, it wasn't hard to get into. It doesn't have lots of, like, super intense fantasy terms that will make you, like, what does this all mean? But it's I don't want to say it's simple, but it's, like, a simple kind of, like, introduction to fantasy genre. Kind of, like, cozy. Everything is kind of self-explanatory. Like, not self-explanatory. Like, it's a good writing style. It's good. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've kind of lost the plot.
I think it felt worse in this one than in Cursed Cocktails for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe just that this sort of writing maybe isn't his forte, right? Like, maybe he's better at the, like, they're in one place and things are happening sort of thing rather than the, like, on a journey things are happening sort of thing.
Yeah. It just felt there was nothing. Yeah, as we just said, there just felt like nothing happened. But because, like, this just kind of had, like, no world-ending ramifications that kind of, like, Cursed Cocktails kind of had because of the whole Kraken thing at the end. But, like, singular places, yeah, definitely would be better. I think he had that down in Cursed Cocktails. So, because, I don't know. Maybe it was just, like, the episodic elements of it didn't really tie in together. I don't know. But it was still pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. It just didn't feel as cohesive, I think.
Yeah.
And like I say, there's things that could have been done about that.
Yeah. And you know what? Okay. You still have time if you publish a next one.
Right? Like, exactly. I will happily read another book in this series.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I like the world.
Yes, although I will say that yet again, Mr. S.L. Rowland, you clearly didn't listen to our other episode because your Mac still on the crack, right?
Still. Fucking
Eastbourne, again,
right,
quite an
middle.
Important city in this book, in the map crack.
And
stop
in the
putting
south.
Things in the map crack.
And it's in the south, right?
Yeah, yes, well, there's that too, yeah.
Which also didn't make sense. It was very funny. But yes, give it a crack in the middle so we don't miss the important place.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty map.
It is. I like the map. It's a nice looking map. It's just you haven't thought about your positioning and your most important city's right in the crack, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please, format your maps. I like how I immediately knew you were going to talk about the map.
The map crack. It's my number one issue.
It is. Oh, it's beautiful.
Enough of the map cracks.
You're very passionate about the map cracks.
I hate map cracks. I just hate them. Take your map crack out of here.
Oh my god.
I don't want to see your map crack. Nobody wants to see your map crack. Cover it up. Honest to god. Last month we had god holes, now we've got map cracks.
Like, oh my god.
What's going to be next?
Oh god.
We'll have to see what the fairies bring us for the next
one. Hey, Willie Wild, what are you going to do to us?
Okay. Plot. I gave plot a 3.
Plot, same.
Oh my god. Thank goodness.
That's brilliant.
I liked the idea
yeah.
of the plot, right? I like the idea of this adventurer who used to have parties, but for various reasons is now on his own, mm-hmm. and he has to sort of relearn how to work with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea of, like, he's been hired to go and find this really rare mushroom and, like, solve the mystery of Hell's Crag.
Mm-hmm.
But, Jesus Christ, I just didn't care.
Yeah, no, me neither.
I just didn't care. Dobbin is so uninteresting as a character. Right. That I just couldn't, like, bring myself to really care about what was happening mm-hmm. to him. And like, there's no, like, okay, so Cursed Cocktails, the plot primarily is obviously firstly opening the shop, and then also trying to solve the mystery of, like, why the shop is considered cursed, uh-huh. right?
That's fun.
And that works, because it's a small-scale plot.
Uh-huh.
What is the plot of this book? Is it him going to find mushrooms? Is it him relearning to work with people? Is it him getting over his trauma? It should be those three mm-hmm. things. But instead, the plot of this book seems to just be Dobbin...
being a hypocrite.
Existing. And then walking. And then learning a thing. And
him going places and spending little to no time there and still walking and riding his horse and being a horse girl and just nothing happening.
I also, I felt like the end, like them getting rid of the,
mm-hmm.
the mm-hmm. wraith was really anticlimactic. Right.
Where did he come from?
Like, they do all this setup, and then they wait, and then it's over.
Like, surely...
There's no, like, great battle.
Yeah. Like...
They just go into the tower where the wraith is, and then the wraith gets stuck on, like, a massive pile of thistles. And that's
does the
it.
Dragon even show up?
No.
Oh, for...
No, because the dragon got killed
oh,
way
yes.
back when, right? The first tractor is, like, the prologue.
The dragon did die. That. But we yeah. should have at least seen the body of the dragon. That would have been cool.
That would have been fucking fantastic.
Been great. Like, the wraith was, like, tied to the dragon or something and couldn't, like, move from it. And it was, like, causing all this death and crotching from, like, the corpse or something. That would have been good. But no. He's yeah. just in a cave, being little, and not really doing much. And then suddenly he's dead because of yeah. some thistles. And I don't actually know why the thistles did anything.
Because thistles have this magical property of clearing out a ghost, right? They, like, dissipate a ghost.
Okay.
But because this guy's a wraith, they need lots of thistles. And literally,
she can
literally
make them.
What they do, because the wraith is at the bottom of a tower, and so what they do is they just cover the stairs in thistles, and then they get Moss Ears, who has, like, water magic, to make a big-ass wave that carries all the thistles down and pushes them onto the wraith, mm-hmm. right? Which could be cool, except for the fact that that could literally have happened without
yeah.
Dobbin and without
Why
Martel.
Didn't...
There is,
they could have figured this out.
They weren't needed.
Yeah. They could have...
And so it's just like, they literally just sort of stand and they're like, okay, we'll just watch her
yeah.
do this. And then there's literally...
No point to him.
Two short paragraphs... No, sorry. Three short paragraphs of, like, them protecting Moss Ears from other ghosts. One of which says, like, Dobbin lost track of time as he fought. And then it just sort of...
Oh, no.
We just sort of skip
no.
over the combat. And then that's it. It's over.
Fantasy is known for combat, okay? Give us the combat.
I know it's cozy fantasy,
still,
but, like, come on.
Like, we got combat in Cursed Cocktails with the whole Kraken and the big magic and all that kind of spell. We got some combat there,
mm-hmm.
even if it was just him, mm-hmm. like, summoning his blood magic or something. But that was at least cool. Have this, like, he's a known adventurer. Have him swing the
yep.
sword and us see the sword
yep.
the sword getting swung, okay? That was hard to say.
Well,
the Sweetie swung. We never saw the Sweetie swung, okay? I can't speak today, but it just
yeah.
There was
it was so anticlimactic and
mm-hmm.
such a non moment.
Mm-hmm. The things that we want were taken out, and the things that we didn't want were extended, and that really, really annoyed me.
Yes.
And
yeah.
There was just some things with the magic I also didn't really like. But we can get into that in a bit. Because it was just like... Describe more of the thistles. Because we know Myrtle's been there for, like, ages. Maybe even years. I can't remember how long she's been there at this point. But, like, she's doing it by herself. Surely she should have met is it the goblins there that they help with at the end? Surely they might have met.
Yeah, but then the Myrtle doesn't go into Hell's Crag, like into the city, before Dobbin's there. She doesn't go there because she's like, that place is fucking haunted.
But even still.
And she knows that, like, her whole thing is that when she tries to restore a bit of land just on its own, it takes so much more work. Whereas when she tries to expand a bit of land that she's already restored, it's easier. So she's like working her way in from the outside. So it kind of makes sense that she would never have met the goblins. But it is just like...
But surely if it's your calling and like it's your family's whole thing to like restore this great land and it's your history that's in there, surely you would have like made provisions, gone in, seen that something, there was a great threat inwards and that's why nothing's working, and then prepared and got someone to help with taking that out. That's maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And not just stay on the outside. But again,
Dobbin doesn't actually really
help. No, he's just kind of there.
Even Myrtle doesn't really help with clearing out the Wraith. Neither of them needed to be there. The goblins could have done that on their own.
Wait, didn't Myrtle grow the thistles? Yeah, because she was a druid. I think.
Yes, because she had been trying to plant thistles, and they kept disappearing. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I don't know why they've been disappearing. I guess maybe the Grin can't sustain them. And then later she discovers that the goblins had been taking them because they'd been trying to plant them themselves, but they hadn't grown. So yes, she needed to be there.
Dobbin didn't. Like, here's a thought. It could have been from Myrtle's perspective.
It should have been from Myrtle. I literally was just having that exact same thought when you said, here's a thought. If this book had been from Myrtle's point of view,
it would have been interesting. Because there's the magical horse that she sometimes rides in the forest. There's a group, unfortunately. And also, she could have made friends with the people in the forest. She could have dealt with ghosts, which would have been really cool. And she could have, like, explored druidic power within the realm of kind of, like, ghost powers or something.
Yeah.
And yet, we've got Dobbin. We've got this average...
Dobbin?
We've got Dobbin. This average white man. Instead of the cool dwarf. Who, for the entire book, we thought Dobbin should have been a dwarf. And yet he wasn't. What is this? Like, the dinner cult...
Yeah, it should have been from Myrtle's point of view. I'm now sad. Yeah. I'm now sad that this wasn't from Myrtle's point of view.
Exactly. I'm having a whole existential crisis.
This could have been a much better book with that one simple change.
And in Doctors hate her.
She made this one simple change.
So much of this could have been, like, 100 pages. And then the dinner cult could have had a different whole thing with Dobbin. That it could have been, like... I just have a crisis just now.
Still have Dobbin there, except have him be the Myrtle character of like turning up partway through the book and being around, and she's just like, why is this? Like, he's not really helping. But I guess I'll help him find these mushrooms.
Like, his whole thing could have been like his friend's spirit was trapped in Hell's Crag or something. That would have been more interesting.
Or the mission that they went on that they were unprepared for. Was them trying to go in and clear out Hell's Crag.
Because surely tons of people would have wanted it cleared out. Because it's a massive threat. And yet... Okay, no, this is just making me upset. What? Okay. Oh, no.
Okay. It could have been better, is basically what we're saying. And if we can come up with ideas for if we can come up with ideas for making it better... Why couldn't you, S.L. Rowland? That's all I'm saying.
Oh, no. Yeah. Honestly. Does that pull us into intrigue?
I think so.
Yeah.
I gave intrigue a 3.
Same!
Literally all I've written here is I didn't care about any of it. I really wanted to love this book, but I just didn't care. I just couldn't bring myself to give a fuck about Dobbin or his life.
He was just... No character development ever happened. Nothing happened.
Or at least period. Not good character development.
Yeah, not good.
Right, like, the character development that happened is, like, food. He learns not to be racist.
Good for you.
Like, hey, great. I'm so glad we had that
moment. Yay. And it was just poor. I just didn't care enough at all.
Yeah.
And before we did the recording today, I kept reading 5-star reviews. And I was just like, what did
so
they
did
read?
I.
What did people read? Because I
even saw one that said that it was an improvement over Cursed Cocktails.
No, it isn't. I was actually there for the relationship in that, and not this one night stand bullshit.
Yeah.
Like,
made worse by the fact that it's not even gay.
It's not even gay.
He's not even gay.
Okay. The main character is a tall ginger man. And you didn't make him gay? And he's...
The main character is literally the default.
Yeah.
He's a cishet, white man, he's a human, he's a fighter. He's like the most default generic character you could come up
Honestly.
With.
Honestly.
And rather than give him any personality, you were just like, that'll do.
Like, what is this?
The other thing, I think this one took me like... Hang on, let me have a wee look here. Yeah. So I read Cursed Cocktails in a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I read this in a week. It took me so much longer because I didn't have that, like, I'm just going to sit down and absorb it
thing. I'm a bit similar. I think I read Cursed Cocktails over, like, a couple days, and then this took me about 2 weeks because Cursed Cocktails is just so good. Like, I still have qualms with Cursed Cocktails.
Oh,
but
definitely.
Like,
we still had issues with it, but it was significantly better than this
one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Logic? Mm-hmm. 4.
8,
okay.
Well, there weren't any big plot holes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was struggling with I won't lie. I was like, I don't know what to rate this. And I was like, I can't think of any major plot holes, so I'll just give it an 8.
See, I'm kind of similar of, like, there wasn't plot holes, but, like, it just didn't make sense how the relationships with people, as we're talking about. But then the magic was really confusing to me, because, like, it wouldn't go into what her... Martel's druidic powers was able to do. She was just able... She only made thistles, from what I understood. It didn't show how
she was definitely growing other stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's her whole, like, reclaiming the land thing. She was, like, growing fruit trees and stuff.
I would have loved to see that and how much that drained her or impacted her as a person. And then... Or if she had any other special abilities apart from being a druid or... The goblins, they have suddenly having water magic, and then how did that water magic work? Please just tell me. I want to know. I know it's low stakes and, like, it's a low fantasy book, but please tell me how it works. I want to know. How does the ghosts work? How do they possess people? Like, I already know.
Yeah.
We already knew how the runes worked, but they didn't really explain the runes much. As well,
yeah.
So I was like, for people, if, like, they haven't read Cursed Cocktails and they read this first because you can, they won't really know how the runes work. Only that they're from, only that dwarves were able to make them.
Gnomes.
Sorry.
I think it was gnomes.
Never mind. The gnomes were able to make them. Like,
I think. But yeah, no.
How does it
just
work? Explain.
I think it suffers from that thing of, like, technically you could read this one first.
Yeah.
But there's so much world building done in the first book that this book assumes you have already got the knowledge of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, like, either make it so that you're definitively being like, don't read this first because it won't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or put the effort into both
mm-hmm.
and, like, have the world building done in this one as well. Instead
mm-hmm.
of just being like, eh, you will have read the first book, you understand the world.
Because
if it's not a direct sequel, people might not necessarily read them in publication
order. Exactly. Because what it, like, if we had read this first, I wouldn't have jumped to read Cursed Cocktails.
No, I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
I would not have been like, oh, I want to read the other one now.
Yeah. Oh, well. Enjoyment?
4.
3.
I wanted to like it.
Yeah.
And I found myself disappointed.
I was upset because I was like, this. The potential was there as well. Was the worst thing.
Like, I really liked Cursed Cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
I like the concept of this one. I just, the execution was not where it ought to have been, and that made me sad.
Yeah. Because we know S.L. Rowling can do good stuff, and yet this was not good stuff.
We know he can.
Mm-hmm.
He just apparently chose not to this time.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Where did it all go?
Honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly. It's truly, truly just... I don't understand how you write Cursed Cocktails and then write this.
Yeah. The leap in kind of like... the regression of your writing. Yeah.
And the drop in quality, yeah. I just don't understand it.
It's not good.
No.
No.
Okay. Let's talk recommendations for alternatives.
Let's.
Because there's books that do this, but better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hit me with one of yours.
I'm just going to, like, John Gwynne, just as an author. If you want... like people who are kind of like hardened warriors who have a past of like training and being kind of like fighters and adventurers, John Gwynne's, I've not really read it, I read the first book and never continued, but their Malice series, but also I know you DNF'd it, don't laugh at me. I never continued.
I tried to read Malice.
It's difficult.
I did not get very far.
I know it gets better, and that's, it really pisses me off, but but, what's it called? It's not Hunger of the Gods, but it's the one before...
Shadow
of the Gods, thank you. I recommend it a lot, because it's actually good. It's got gods that tie in. It has multiple adventuring parties and adventuring groups and having to deal with consequences because you're shipping, like, living beings to places. And it's kind of gnarly. I really like it. I don't want to say more. Just John Gwynne. You'll like him. or not.
Yeah. I think I tried Malice, and I found it was trying very hard to be like Game of Thrones.
It was.
And having tried to read Game of Thrones, I couldn't do that.
No,
again.
Fair enough. Yeah, I will not read or finish Game of Thrones. I can't do it. I just have no interest.
on a similar tone, I've got Kings of the Wild.
That's one of mine too.
Yeah, I thought it might be, which is why I wanted to get it out before you could.
Deal.
Which is about, I talked about it in last episode as well, I think. It's about a guy who is a retired mercenary. He's one of this like band of mercenaries who were huge like 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
And have all retired. And one of the band comes to him and is like, my daughter is in a fucked up situation. She's in this keep that's surrounded by monsters. I want to get the band back together and go help her.
And they do.
That's exactly what happens, and it is a blast.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. It's good read. It's got proper fantasy stuff in it,
mm-hmm.
and I think it does what this was trying to do of like old man not old man, but like older adventurer vibes. I think it does that much better.
Yeah.
There's so many moments where it's like 30 years ago that wouldn't have hurt me, but now my back's really sore, and I'm like, I love this.
I need to go to physical therapy.
I love all these
therapy.
Moments where it's like, that fall wouldn't have hurt me when I was younger, but now it does.
And it's like...
I used to be able to sleep on rocks all the time, and now I wake up and my back's really sore and I'm hunched over all day.
I want a cushion.
It's fantastic, it really is.
It's a great book. It's so good. I need to actually read the sequel. Should I just recommend Bloody Rose?
Bloody Rose is really, really good as well.
I need to get around to that. I need to reread it.
You should definitely read it.
Fuck it, I'll do it now. I have more time. Uni's finished.
Yeah, do it. There we go. Do it right now.
Okay.
We'll pause the recording, go read the book, and we'll come back.
Okay, just stay there, and I'll be back in like 2 to 3 days.
2 to 3 working days.
It's also a weekend, so you know, it might be taking me a little bit.
Spoilers.
Sorry, guys. We did this in advance.
They might know when we've recorded. Oh, no.
A weekend. Oh no. Yeah.
Oh,
do you want to just do your next ones? Because I'll only have one left after anyway.
I've also got on here Perception Check by Astrid Knight, which I talked about last year on one of our episodes.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's a fantasy book about this woman who discovers that the world that her favorite TTRPG mm-hmm. is set in is a real world, and she had this best friend as a kid who got like kidnapped,
mm-hmm.
And she discovers that said kidnapped best friend was taken to that other world,
mm-hmm.
and so she's like, I'm gonna go there and save her, and it's really good. It's quite mental healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cozy, right? Like mm-hmm. I've seen the author on TikTok be like, I don't know why people keep comparing my book to cozy fantasy books. It's not cozy, but it is really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun, and I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend that if you liked the like trauma stuff,
mm-hmm.
such as it was in this book, or you wanted better trauma stuff. Perception check.
Thank you.
It is the first book in a series, but I don't think the rest of the series has come out yet.
My last one is Illuminations by T. Kingfisher, because it's adorable. So it's the similar vein of kind of like a book we read, which one was it? A Wizard's Guide to Defensive Baking, where it's like a child having magical ability and having to solve something. And in this case, it's in Illuminations, I can't remember the main character's name at the current moment, but their family is one of two families in this town that when they do a painting, the painting causes magic. So like a turnip will do something, or like a Watergate bridge might have the picture of like an angel on it to keep the water kind of like fresh. So it's all that kind of vibe. And she finds out that there's been a rogue painting, and it's a whole mystery as it kind of stuff other happens to the other magic, and the magic is failing, and she has to figure it out. And it's her and her friend, who is not very nice at the beginning but gets better, and it's very very cute, and it's all about family and stuff, and there's a talking crow. Nice. So
which will be why you loved it.
I loved it so much. It's adorable.
I know you too well. Literally, I think you could write the worst book in the world, but if there's a talking crow in there, it's like five stars from E.
I'm there. I'm in the world.
Everything else about this book was shit, but there was a talking crow. So five stars. Perfect. 10 out of 10.
You know my ranking system so well.
Yeah.
My star system makes perfect sense. Thank you.
How many crows are in the book? 1 to 5.
In this book, this blown sword, none. So zero. Yeah,
0 stars.
0 stars, I'm afraid. No talking crow or crows. No Corvus. It's different.
My last recommendation is a series of 6 books. I've read the first two.
Ooh.
The first one is called a book. It's called something. The series is called Mishaps Heroes. They're by K.M. Merritt.
Mm-hmm.
The first book is called Magic and Misrule. And it's about this group of adventurers. The first book starts off with the main character is a half-orc paladin.
Oh, hell yeah.
And she's like, she has to undergo a quest to officially become a paladin. And she gets sent to this like backwater town, and she's like, how am I going to find a quest here? And then there's been like kidnappings of children,
mm-hmm.
and so she's like, here's my quest, somebody quest me. And then over the course of the adventure, she picks up like other members of a party.
Mm-hmm.
There's a halfling monk, there's a human wizard, and there's a, I don't even know if we know the last one's race, but they're a ranger.
Nice.
It's very fun. It's like proper like D&D fantasy.
Hell yeah.
I really enjoy them. They're like nice and fun and cozy, and it has, much as it pains me to say this, given me a new appreciation for paladins.
Beautiful.
I am not the biggest fan of paladins.
Fair enough. I only really like Oathbreaker paladins, to be fair.
I have had far too many paladins, as a DM, mm-hmm. I've had far too many paladin players whose entire character is just like, oh, well, they're just a good guy.
No.
That's their personality, good guy, because that's the paladins. Paladins are the good guy class.
But like,
and there is nothing more boring mm-hmm. to me than that.
good guy class.
Yeah, but this has developed a greater appreciation of Paladins
Hell
for me.
Absolutely.
So I've read the first two, and like I say, there's six books. I have them all because I read the first one and really liked it. I was like, I'll just buy the other five.
I feel you. I do that.
I'll just get them all. So yeah, I would recommend them.
Heck yeah.
Because they're good fun and have properly got the vibe of like solo adventurer who finds themselves having to like develop a party and learn how to be friends with people.
Hell yeah.
Very sweet and good vibes.
So if you liked this book or didn't, go read them because yes, those are actually good books.
Those are actually good books.
Yeah. And as
I think all we need to do is talk about next month's book.
Yes. Which is, drumroll,
Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies. Woo! By Heather Fawcett.
Yeah.
Which
I know barely
will be
anything.
Interesting. Likewise. We just thought it sounded like it could be a good fun time.
And like I've heard the response is very good and it's like actual like what's the book we read? The
Natural History of Dragons.
That's it. It's meant to be like that, but fae, which really appeals to me because I hate current fairy books.
Yeah. I swear to God, if there is any fairy fucking in this book, I am gonna be very annoyed.
Same. I want nothing to do with it. No fairy porn.
Fairy fucking.
Don't want any of it. If this turns into...
Harthatome is officially anti-fairy porn.
Exactly. If this turns into some Sarah J. Maas bullshit,
oh,
I'm going to be so angry.
But hopefully it won't. And we will come out of it having enjoyed it.
Exactly. Hopefully. I have hope. And it's a very pretty cover and it's got mushrooms on it. So, you know...
It is a nice cover.
Mm-hmm.
And also I know there's a sequel. Mm-hmm. So if it's good, then that might be an episode.
Exactly. If we like it, you'll get more. You're welcome.
Yeah. If we like it, you'll get more. That's how the show works.
Exactly.
Apparently.
It's going to be great.
And also a reminder that there's no Talking in the Tavern.
Yes.
There wasn't one this month, April, because it's April. It's definitely April while we're recording
totally
this.
April.
There won't have been one earlier this month, and there's not going to be one in May.
Yes.
Either. Just to give us a bit of a chance to, like... get everything sorted on our personal lives.
Yes.
So June, we will have a return.
Yeah.
A return to Talking in the Tavern.
Dun da da.
Ba 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 ba.
I'm gonna toot my little horn.
Toot toot toot. Toot toot toot.
It's just like a beep beep. Oh dear God. Yeah. But
okay.
Yeah, epic return. So we
Epic return to Talking in the Tavern.
Exactly, because you know you'll miss our voices.
I mean, what would you all do without us?
Exactly.
Really?
I mean, yeah.
Your lives would be less full of
whimsy,
of god holes and mat rats.
I was going
and whimsy,
from,
sure.
I was going from whimsy and joy, but no, sure, like map cracks, yeah, please.
Map cracks and god holes.
Yeah, of course. The normal
things.
Those
bring
things.
Me whimsy and joy. let's stop talking before I say something else stupid.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for joining us here at the Tavern. Phoenix, where can our listeners find you outside the podcast?
They can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, Threads, or Instagram, all under Beans and Fungi. What about you, Eve?
And you can find me under Cozy Crow with an S and not a Z on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube.
And of course, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at Hearth and Tome Pod, Twitter at Hearth and Tome, and TikTok at hearth.and.tome to keep up to date with all the goings on here at the Tavern. Yes, thank you for listening.
Yes.
We'll see you in a month.
Yeah, see you then.
For fairies.
Bye!
Music used in this episode was Midnight Tale by Kevin MacLeod through Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0 license.